Blog Talk Radio.
Today, every person listening, I want you to understand, no matter where you've been or where you might currently find yourself, it's not over. When God is in it, there is no limit. New breed.
It's not finished. It's not ending.
It's only the beginning. All things
new. All things are
new. All things are
new. All things are new.
Brought some friends along to just encourage you a little further today, Lord, to help with someone right now.
Thank you.
It ain't over till God says it's over. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the nurses say. I don't care what these, what they call them, people who go around trying to predict, fortune tellers, doesn't matter. They can't tell you how many days you got. They can't tell you what's going on. Over to God says it's over. You can about take that to the bank because they don't know when they're going to leave up out of here. They don't know if they're going to be sick. You got scientists trying to tell us, listen, brother and sister, it ain't over till God says it's over. And because you got in that situation, doesn't mean that you ain't coming out, because that's what God's grace is all about. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the God. May God grace and his mercy and peace be upon you. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to get right into this word, this review. Father God, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts because your word says in everything give thanks. So we thank you for the good, bad, and the ugly. And most of all, Father God, we thank you for your word because it's in your word, Father God, that we learn the promises. We learn how you have blessed us. How that if we'll give, it shall be given unto us, shaken together, running over. You shall supply all of our needs according to your riches. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you make all grace abound toward us, and your favor is on our lives. No matter how we think or feel about it, it's on our lives. All we got to do is receive it. I thank you, Father God, that your grace is sufficient. It's adequate for all the things that we need. Your grace is there, and I thank you for it, and I praise you for it, and I give you the honor and the glory. Thank you, Father God, for looking over this Bible study. I thank you, Father God, for looking over Pastor Bill. Give her your traveling grace, that you'll continue to bless her and her family. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, for opening the people's eyes in this country and around the world, especially when it comes to that Margot situation. I thank you, Father God, that that people are going to get a lesson from this earthquake. We pray for those families. This how somehow, some way, Father God, that they'll see you. They'll see what you're begging them to do, especially the people over in Africa, North Africa, South Africa, that this be a wake-up call, that they'll know that this Morocco earthquake is a sign that in these last days, Father God, that there are going to be earthquakes in various places, even on the mountains and in the valleys. People didn't think it was going to be. But I thank you, Father God, that you're opening our eyes. I thank you, Father God, for those that are asking for prayer according to your word. Thank you, Father God, for forgiveness. I thank you, Father God, that we're able to forgive. I thank you, Father God, that you're able to give us wisdom, because the word is very clear on asking for wisdom. True wisdom. Not any kind of wisdom, but the wisdom that comes from God, comes from you, Father. Because your word said you made Jesus wisdom. And we declare that we have that word. We declare we have that wisdom. We declare that we have his righteousness. We declare that we have that peace. We have his peace because we're in him. We have his love. We have in his healing, Father God. Jesus is Lord. He have bared our sickness and our disease. And there is no power over us. So I thank you for the lesson. And then, Father God, I thank you that Jesus bore our sickness in his body on the tree. Therefore, based on that, I am dead to sin and alive to you, Heavenly Father. And by your stripes, we are healed. Hallelujah. Excuse me, brothers and sisters. Okay, we're going to get into the review. This week, we've been sharing about blind to God's grace. And we're going to start by saying that anyone would like to have anything to say about what we talked about this week, the floor is open. Hallelujah. Anybody. Hallelujah. Anybody. Anybody. Hallelujah. Blind to God, true grace. His kind of grace. Different than man kind of grace. True to his kind of grace. While y'all debating, deciding who want to go first, let me say this. I'll just make a couple of comments about grace that we learned this week. First of all, we learned that God made Jesus full of grace, full of it, grace and truth. So it's enough there for all of us. His kind of grace, he's not expecting us to pay it back. He's not expecting us to do something for it. So enough of this notion about, well, you know what, I got to do this because of God. No, God doesn't expect that. Man may have taught you that, but God doesn't expect that. God expects you obedient to his word. God accept that you receive his word, because as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. God wants you to have that power, so he wants you to receive what's in his word. We got to lay hand and lay hold on that grace and use it. Not just have it in your mind, but get that grace in your heart, the God kind. Know that he got you. Know he's there. Another thing we learned about grace is that it's always going to be here to the end, brothers and sisters. When at the end of the day, according to Revelation, grace is going to be here. Revelation 22:1. So, anyone have anything, just press 1 or start talking. Hallelujah. Let's see here. Okay. Well, we're going to get into our review. Our foundational scripture was found in John 1:14 through 17. I'm going to read it out of the King James. And I'm going to say this to somebody. I don't know why I need to say this, but someone said, why y'all read all these scriptures? Listen, brother and sister, that's what we live by. We live by the word of God. And if you don't like it, because you don't live by it. But if you like it and you love it, then you love God. And that's the only way you can get faith anyway. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But anyway, in the Gospel of St. John, verse chapter 14 through the 17th verse, read like this. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen. Did you want me to read it from the Messenger Bible, Pastor?
Yes, ma'am, please.
Yes, John 1:14-17. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. John pointed out and called, this is the one I told you was coming after me, but in fact was ahead of me. He has always been ahead of me, has always had the first word. We all lived off his generous bounty, gift after gift after gift. We got the basics from Moses, and then this exuberant giving and receiving, this endless knowing and understanding all, this came through Jesus, the Messiah. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much. Listen, brothers and sisters, we'll go over just a little bit of this, but we touched on that this week as well, that the that Jesus Christ was flesh and blood like you and I. He was made that way. He came by way of a woman. And all of this had been prophesied that was to happen. But the part that I like is in that 14th verse. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, lived among us. That's what he's talking about. And we saw the glory of God, man. How could you not see the glory of God watching Jesus on a day-to-day operation? If you just follow him, how could you not see the glory of God when he would tell people, go and sin no more. You've been forgiven. They never seen the glory of God. How could you not see the glory of God and see when Jesus says, pick up your bed and walk? I know you've been there a long time. And I know you've been there for 20-some years. Pick up your bed and go ahead on. I mean, how could you not see God's glory, even in that woman? Remember? Year after year.
Mm-hmm.
16 long years.
Yeah.
Bleeding.
Yes. Yeah.
And she touched the hem of his garment because she saw the glory. And
amen.
Jesus said to the disciples, somebody touch me. The disciples said, Lord, all these people, you said somebody touch you? Yeah, he felt the virtue, the glory went out of him. Well, see, that support these scriptures right here that says he was full of grace and truth. So he had so much, if you just touched the hem of his garment, you could get some of this grace. You
yes.
could get some of this yes. truth by just hanging around with him. And we talked a little bit about John, you know, which John we were dealing with. You're not dealing with the John, and we may get into this another time, but and we'll make a distinction between the two Johns. One is called the beloved disciple. That's who wrote this book, or who is a tribute to writing this book. It's the beloved disciple who was there for every occasion. Matter of fact, This John that wrote this book is the same one that when Jesus was hanging on that cross and before he was getting ready to leave up out of here, and before he told that thief, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise, before the sun went down in blood, before the people railing and began to make all of this crazy noise about crucified.
Yeah.
Before all of that went on, as Jesus hung on the cross from the sixth to the ninth hour, he looked down and told John, John, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. Put John, his mother's care, in John's hand. This John that we're talking about. I'm talking about that John that looked up there and told him, Pharisees and scribes, who warned you vipers to flee from the wrath to come? You know, he was down there eating wild locusts and honey. That's not the John we're talking about. We're talking about the John that was there for every occasion of Jesus' life. The brother of Zebedee, one of Zebedee's children, when she said, grant that these my two sons, one to sit on thy right and one to sit on thy left. This is the John. He was just full of love, full of grace. So the 17th verse says, and this is really important, brothers and sisters. Y'all get nothing today. Get this. Get the revelation here. For the law came by Moses. Oh, really now? But then he used the word but. I told you, anytime you see that word but, pay attention. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Well, wait a minute. Moses didn't have no grace, and that ain't what he had. In order to get it, you got to get it through Jesus Christ. People want to follow the law. Christ is the end of the law. He ended Moses' term. See, you know, that's how that works. Once one prophet leave, another prophet would come on the scene, and God would let the world know who was doing what at what time. If it was Isaiah, Jeremiah, whoever, and even Moses, God would let the people know. Moses was the lawgiver. He was the one that showed us how God wanted us to go. He's the one that showed us that God wanted us to pay attention to him. And he wanted us to be different. Yeah, that was Moses. So he came with the law. Mm-hmm. He came with a bunch of rules and regulations to show us how we're to act and how we're to be and line ourselves up. And also, he was there to show God's power to people that would obey him. But at the end of the day, the Bible says, if you'll get it like this, because this is the revelation, Moses didn't have grace and truth. He had truth, but he had grace and truth. He didn't have the truth. That's what Jesus was. He was walking truth. That's very important, because people are trying to hang on to Moses' law. No, hang on to God's grace and his truth. Don't hang on to the building. Be the building.
Yes.
Pick it. And that's what God expects for us to do. Not go to church, but be the church, huh? How about that, huh? That's what he really expects us to do and be. So that's some revelation there. I want you all to get a hold of that, that Moses could only bring the law. That's what he gave us. That's the best he had to do. But Jesus gave us grace and truth. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so our next scripture was found in Zechariah, because God promised this. He promised this. So in Zechariah, I think it was 4 and 7, as Pastor Shear read that out the King James Version, Zechariah 4, chapter 4, and verse 7.
Zechariah 4:7. So big mountains, who do you think you are? Next to the Zebulun, you're nothing but a molehill. He'll proceed to set the cornerstones in place, accompanied by cheers. Yes, yes, do it. Amen, amen.
Okay. Pastor, would you read that, the King James Version?
Yes, yes, Pastor.
Good afternoon, Pastor.
Zechariah 4 and verse 7. Okay. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before the river veil, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it. Amen.
Amen.
God, forgive me for trying to pronounce that name. I can't quite get it, but I will. I'm going to keep on working on it. Praise God.
Amen.
So grace comes from God, brothers and sisters. So in 1 Peter 5 and 10, now Zechariah tells us, but in 1 Peter 5 and 10, let's see here. Pastor, you got the Messenger Bible? Okay, how about the King James Version?
I had the King James also.
Okay, how about reading 1 Peter 5 and 10 out of the King James? And then we're going to ask if Sister Evangelist William read it out of the Messenger Bible. That's 1 Peter 5:10.
Amen. Reading from the King James. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Amen.
Amen, amen. Reading 1 Peter 5 and 10 from the Messenger Bible. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before the generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. Amen, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Anybody have any comments?
Man, I like how that message Bible brought that out too. Amen. Praise God. Well, I like to read it from the New Living Translation. It says, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. Amen, amen.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are suffering, we often feel as though our pain will never end. When we're going through it, trying to be a Christ-minded Christian person, it's just like, oh, when is this going to come to fruition? But I want you to know, brother and sister, hold on. Because Peter gives these faithful Christian a good word here. And this good word that he's giving them is that God will give you all grace, because he is, that's his character. Let me say that. That's God's character. Those are his characteristics. This is his nature. So When you get Christ in your life, for real, for real, when you get Christ in your life, you just got grace. Now, it has to be multiplied. See, so some of us, we confess Jesus as our Lord, and we want to leave it there. No, no, brother and sister, you want to grow in grace. There's some other levels. There's some stuff God wants to show us. He ain't showed you yet. Because you have accepted the norm. You've accepted whatever. And Lord, thank you for saving me. Now, God got so much grace, so much more grace for us. And I want you to know he's yours for the ask.
Amen.
See, all of God's faithful followers are sure of having an eternal life. So, that's guaranteed. And like I said, the suffering will be over. According to Revelations 21 and 4,
And God shall wipe away all tears from your eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Amen.
Amen. Revelations 21 and 4 from the Messenger Bible. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death is gone for good. Tears gone, crying gone, pain gone, all the first order of things gone. Amen, amen.
Amen.
My heart goes out to the people in Morocco. They need to know that today. They need to know that what they're going through, it ain't going to last forever. But it was part of the fulfillment of the scripture. See, God said there was going to be earthquakes in various places. But I want you to know that God is going to wipe away your tears. He will do it.
Yeah.
He has to do
it.
And that will be that day.
Yes.
Another scripture we dealt with is over there in 2 Timothy 1 and 9. In 2 Timothy 1 and 9, I think it was showing us that's where God, one of God's attributes is his grace. A lot of stuff goes on with God, his faith, his love, his mercy, his kindness. But one of the attributes of God is his grace.
Thank you. Amen. So 2 Peter 1 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Amen.
Was that 2 Timothy?
Oh, you said Timothy. I apologize.
Yes.
Yeah.
No problem.
Okay, Second Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Amen.
Amen. 2 Timothy 1 and 9 from the Messenger Bible. Who first saved us and then called us to this holy work. We had nothing to do with it. It was all his idea. A gift prepared for us and Jesus long before we knew anything about it. Amen, amen.
Amen. Praise God.
The kind of grace God had for us, the kind that called us to be holy like him. It's the saving kind. God saved us. Then he turned around and called us. Put us in a protective custody, if you will. He put us in protective custody. He saved us. Then he turned around and called us to a holy place in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with what we did. See, a lot of people think it's your going to church, it's your singing in the choir, it's your much ushering. And I, people, just let me stop that foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
It's foolishness. I'm going to tell you the truth. That's all it is. God gave you whatever you're dealing with. God saved you. He called you. And you can go to a building till the cows come home. Listen, brothers and sisters, that won't change what God did. Now, if you want God kind, it's his kindness or his plan is in Christ. And he did it before the world began. He'd already put it in Christ. And he wanted to show us his grace. He wanted to let us know. See, when you understand grace, God kind of grace, he don't ask for anything in return, but he showed it because we couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You couldn't get out of trouble. You were born into sin, shaped in iniquity. It's not your fault. So God said, look here. Y'all wasn't there when Adam sinned and Eve, and so I can't put that on you. But since you were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, I got some grace for you. This is to get you out of this situation. Now, I'm going to give you the same opportunity I gave Adam and Eve. Come to me. All they that labor, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Those that will want faith, come unto me. Those that want the God kind of love, come unto me. Well, I got enough grace to make it happen for you.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, remember we talked about Acts, what was that, Acts 4:33? When they start using the grace of God, the Bible said great grace. It was great, man. It was awesome. I think that was in Acts 4:33, I think. Let's look at that.
And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Amen.
Acts 4:33 from the Messenger Bible. The apostle gave powerful witness to the resurrection of the Master Jesus, and grace was on them all. Amen.
Amen.
Man, you get to talking about Jesus Christ and what he did and how the power of God going to fall on you. I dare anybody, I challenge you right now, get to telling somebody about the life of Jesus, if nothing else. You can start with the Virgin Mary if you want to. You can start in Isaiah 7:14, where God promised that a virgin shall be with child. This is going to be a sign. I want y'all to know the sign came. This was a sign. So when you see Jesus, that he was the sign. He was the one that was spoken of in Isaiah 7:14. And he proved it over there in Luke 4:22. He proved it when he stood up to read. They said, wait a minute, ain't you married, boy? Ain't you Joseph's son? That ain't your scripture. You ain't supposed to read that scripture. You've been coming in here enough to know you don't read that scripture. It's your custom to come in here, so you've been coming in here, and you know you're not supposed to read that scripture. Unless you're the Messiah. And the Bible says his words was with grace. Woo! They knew he was full of it. They knew he was full of grace and truth.
Amen.
But you just get to talk about the stuff Jesus did. The anointing will come. the power of God will fall on your life. And you will see the great grace that God has. He wants us to use that. He wants us to be a witness. Be a witness and watch God's grace fall on your life like never, ever before.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So we hit on that. And then I thank Wednesday, bless God, because Tuesday I thank God for Evangelist Renee. It was something about that prayer she prayed on Tuesday, I think it was. It just, God said, you know, start using her more.
Amen. Amen.
And brothers and sisters, if God lead me to call on you, just do it. Now, you have choices, but trust me, it's because you want that great grace to fall on you. God wants that to fall on you. I know you may not use it for this broadcast. You may use it somewhere else, but I assure you, because Tuesday, that's what happened. When the power of God fell Tuesday. See, a lot of times folks look for the power of God to make a clown benches and, I don't know, foam at the mouth. Brothers and sisters, that ain't the power of God. The power of God makes you witness. The more you witness, the more power you get. The more God confirms who you are in him.
Yes.
Because, see, you love the word, so until.
Yeah.
Well, Wednesday was a scripture that we touched on, and maybe a couple of other scriptures that we might share. But Wednesday we did Galatians 6. I think it was 8 and 7. 8 and 9. That's what it was. 8 and 9. So, Pastor, you be so... And this brother, sister, anybody can jump in at any time. This is a review. The only people that can't come in is people who is not showing their number. If your number is private, you won't be able to come in. But if your number is not private, and you want to say something, you got to unblock your number. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Verses 8 and 9 from the King James. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And verse 9, and let us not be weary in well doing, but for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen.
Amen. Galatians 6:8-9 from the Message Bible. Harvest a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. So let not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Pastor, I like to read that from the New Living Translation. And it reads, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
interesting. Very interesting.
Yes,
wouldn't it be
yes.
a surprise? I mean, y'all help me out. You're in Planet College, and you go out there and pumpkins coming up out the ground. I mean, it may sound a little to the right or left, but think about that. Here you went out there and you planted tomatoes, and you see a bunch of beans hanging out there. Wouldn't that be a surprise?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it would. Mm-hmm.
You done planted collards. All you see is a bunch of pumpkin seeds. Well, listen, brothers and sisters, that's how simple this is. You ain't sowing to the Spirit. Why should you reap from the Spirit?
Amen, amen.
So how are you going to reap eternal life and all you did is try to get money all your life? You ain't caring nothing about the Spirit. You ain't been in the Word of God. You don't care about the Word of God. All you've been into is the flesh. Everything been about the flesh. That's all you care about is the flesh, and that's what you sow to. Now, you getting ready to have eternal life or eternal damnation. What make you think? What give you the nerve, the audacity to think that you finna get something spiritual now? No, sister, that ain't gonna happen. Unless you start sowing to the Spirit, you can't reap from the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
And enough of this foolishness about preaching, talking about, this is where you get fed at, so this is where you need to pay your money. See, that's how worldly people are. Well, I don't think you ought to be paying no money over at that church. You ought to come over here to this church. This is where you're being fed at.
Mm-hmm.
You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap from the flesh. No, what you need to do, if you don't mind me sharing this, what you need to do is get in your word and sow to the word so you can reap from the word. Sow to the Spirit so you can reap from the Spirit. See, the word and the Spirit are the same, pretty much. Because John 6:63 says, my word, they are spirit and they are life. So when you're spending time, quality time, in the word of God, you're sowing to the Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want you all to be surprised if in hell you lift up your eyes. That's the last thing I want you to do. I want you to know, hey, that preacher told me to start sowing to the Spirit so I can reap eternal life. I didn't say this. That's what's in the Word of God. I believe that's what it says. Let me go back over there. Maybe somebody missed that. Maybe they missed that you're going to reap joy and everlasting life.
Yeah, that's what it says.
You're predicated on what seed you are planting. What seed?
Amen.
Amen.
Preachers out here talking about, sow a seed. I ain't sowing jack, baby. I'm sowing to the Spirit. That's what I'm sowing. Because if I sow a seed to you, that's all I'm going to reap is from you, from the flesh. But that ain't what I'm trying to reap.
Yeah.
I'm trying to reap from the Spirit.
That's right.
I understand it right. And then don't make me go to 6 and 7 where it said, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Don't make me go there.
Yeah.
Don't make me tell you that you can't make biscuits out of cornmeal. It don't work like that. That ain't how that works.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Say that.
You done planted tomatoes? I don't care about how bad you want okra. It ain't coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get the worst. You're going to get the worst surprise in your life. See, that's why a lot of folks going to be surprised. Because they ain't sowing to the Spirit. Ain't never sowed to the Spirit. Don't want to sow to the Spirit. Has no desire to sow to the spirit. All they want to do is, let me put on my duds. Y'all may not know what duds are. Those are clothes. Let me put on my clothes. Let me fit my hair. Let me put my lipstick. Let me put my suit. Let me put my three-piece. Let me put on my shoe. And let me go to... And some kind of way, the devil done told these folks, you're doing your due diligence. And they're like, you sold to the flesh, baby. And that's all you can reap from is from the flesh. Don't expect to reap from anything else. That's all you're going to reap. Because that's what you sold to. And that's what you're going to reap from.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to leave it there. Anybody have anything they want to share? Hallelujah.
Anything you want to share. Just like the scripture said.
Amen.
Now, don't think God got his eyes closed. You're missing it. If you think the Lord don't. He knows. He see it.
Oh, yes.
They sang that old crazy song, Santa Claus. He know when you sleep. He know when you wake. You know, forget that. God sees you, man. And I got some receipts for you. He don't miss nothing. So don't be deceived.
Amen.
Let me give y'all one more receipt, and then whatever y'all want to say, y'all can go from there. But over in Hebrews 4:12-13, but mainly the 13th verse, I just want you to go to the 12th verse so you can see that when you're in the Word of God, ain't nothing going to be hid from you. But in the Hebrews, read that out to King James for me there, Pastor, please, ma'am.
Okay, Hebrews 4:13-14, Pastor?
No, 12 and 13.
12 and 13. Okay. From the King James. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Amen.
Amen. Hebrews 4:12-13 from the Messenger Bible. God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, lying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it no matter what. Amen, amen.
Amen.
So everything naked. Whatever you sow, God see you. So you can't say, oh, well, Lord, you know, I was in the Bible. Say, well, you probably was. And Lord, you know, I went to the church. Yeah, well, you probably were. Because, see, that day is going to come when a lot of people are going to come to God talking about, Lord, did not I do this? And, Lord, did not I do this? Did not I prophesy? And then, see, God goes, hear all of that stuff. Just like a jury. He's going to hear it all. And then he's going to say, I never knew you. You know why he never knew you? I'm glad you asked. You weren't sowing to the Spirit. Oh, preacher. You weren't sowing to the Spirit. You're so busy sowing to the flesh. You want the folks to see you. You want to show people you big time. You put your dollars up on the table. You wanted to strut down the aisle so people could see that fine outfit you had. You weren't sowing to the spirit. Stop it, I say. Stop it. You weren't sowing to no spirit. You were sowing to the flesh.
Amen.
So God
Amen.
Don't have no... Yeah, I mean, he's not going to say, I never knew you. Your works was of iniquity. He didn't say, didn't do it, just your works was of iniquity. You weren't doing that for me. People up here saying, you ain't doing that for God. You singing so you can get likes and you can get high fives and you posting stuff. You ain't doing that for God. Who you think you fooling? Don't make me thank you, Jesus. Because I was getting ready to preach today. But thank you, Lord. Listen, brother and sister, God is not mocked. You can't fool him, okay? He know what you're doing,
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
He know. Because he caught me one day and told me, I know what you're doing. I know exactly what you're doing. Well, Lord, I'm up here preaching your word. He said, you did that for you. You didn't do that for me. You didn't do that because I told you to go ye therefore into all the world. See, there's a lot of preachers right now.
Amen.
They committed to that pulpit. They committed to doing things and have nothing to do with God. They ain't sowing to the spirit. They doing that for the flesh so they can get that money, so they can stay in that house and church again, so they can get that. See, they just let it go. Sow it to the spirit.
Amen.
So I don't expect for a lot of people to hang around my broadcast. I don't. I really don't. Because they won't hear the truth. And if they did, it might hurt them. See, the truth is, it's rough, man. Woo! Truth make you, hey, I'm going to leave that alone, too. Okay, anybody else? Hallelujah.
First giving honor to God, Pastor Bell, Pastor Beasley, Evangelist Williams. Standing on my word, by his stripes I am healed. I am going into surgery tomorrow. They need to go in and clean this wound out. So I'll probably be in here a few more days. By his stripes I am healed. Amen.
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 Father God, in the name of Jesus right now, we ask you to send your ministering spirits with her and make war against anything that acts stupid, act crazy, that her wound will be cleaned out properly, every organ, every tissue will come up under your blood, Father God. We decree and declare right now that you will protect her, that you will build a hedge around her. I thank you, Father God, that your word said, by your stripes we're healed. And we know she's healed. We know that the doctors will not make a mistake with this, that you will guide their hands and direct them. There will be no hiccups on this one, Father God. I thank you. I don't care what the enemy say. We know how the enemy come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But this is your child. So, Father God, we just plead the blood over her life and that Satan has no assignment here and that your plans of protection will be with Evangelist Renee, that you will heal every organ. There will be no false chemical put in her body that will cause her to do anything other than what you said. We bind up every tumor, every growth, anything that will come from the pits of hell, we send it back right now. Every organ, every tissue that's been corrupted, we cast you down in the name of Jesus right now. We call healing right now. We put the word on there right now. The word will cause her to get healed expeditiously. The word will call her to have a speedy recovery. And Father God, we thank you that what meant for evil, you'll make it good. Thank you. You declared that you bore our sickness and you carried our pain. There will be no pain. Thank you for it. Thank you for bearing our sickness and our disease. You got power over that, and you've given us power. And we put ourselves in agreement with Evangelist Renee, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Everybody agree with that prayer, said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, Evangelist Renee, for letting us know. And we'll continue in prayer. In prayer.
All right. Praise God. Did y'all hear that echo? Amen. Did y'all hear that echo? Amen.
Yeah, prayer.
Yes, yes. Praise God.
Amen. Ain't stopping nothing. In the mighty name of Jesus. What was
I just love that. God. Word. Amen. Praise God. God bless everyone. Amen.
Did we lose Pastor?
Yeah, I think he was done. I think. Amen. But I just like that. I like that at the end. It's like that. It emphasized that prayer. That's what I was hearing at the end. Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and end it. Bless you. So happy to hear from each and every one. And thanking God for the healing. Amen.
Amen. Look to hear from you all tomorrow.
All right. For the word at noon. God bless.
Yes. Thank you. Good night. Good evening.
Good night. Oh, right. Amen.